Okay, let's get started. So today I'm going to discuss a topic that is very relevant to la halacha, but not really particularly to this time period per se. It's just that I get the shayla all the time and I never gave a shir about it. I've been asked many, many times about the kashrus of pre-seasoned cast iron skillets or cookware, and whether they need to be kashered before you use them. Apparently you buy this cookware and it already has flavors in it. You know, we learn all of Yaradeya, all of Hilchos Issei V'Heter, about tam that's balua in kelim, and we sometimes wonder, really? Is it really tam, balua, and kelim? So they sell kelim that are pre-seasoned with certain flavors in the kelim. So the shayla is, are they kosher if they don't have a hashkacha? So the idea of cast iron in general needs seasoning. Just a little bit of Matzias background. Apparently cast iron was invented a long, long time ago, meaning this is not really such a new shayla. It's believed to have been invented in China in the 5th century BCE. And it started becoming very widespread first in the 16th century. And the cast iron skillet was born toward the end of the 19th century when it became popular to use flat cooking surfaces. So before the advent of aluminum non-stick and stainless steel pans, cast iron was the ideal cookware. And during the late 1800s and early 1900s, they refined it and they refined the production of it. And that's where cast iron became very, very popular. And skillets from that era are very sought after. So some people have it as like family heirlooms and things like that. So the metzius is that in order for cast iron to be non-stick and to prevent it from rusting, it needs to be seasoned. It can't work without being seasoned. And the way to season it is, they coat the pan with oil, fat, or butter, and they put it in a warm or hot oven for a few hours. Then they continue to use until the oil is absorbed and baked in until it becomes fully seasoned. And then once it's seasoned, the entire color of the metal looks different. It has like a black layer on it, and at that point it can remain seasoned forever unless you somehow scrape off the seasoning. Now there are two ways that cast iron cookware comes. When you buy cast iron cookware, you can buy it unseasoned and they have like a gray color and it will come with like a temporary protective coating and you wash off the coating and you have to do the seasoning yourself. Or it can come pre-seasoned, where the factory did the job for you and the cookware is already blackened. So there are really three issues, la halacha, that need to be clarified. Number one, is the seasoning that they use kosher? And if the company says so, are you allowed to trust that? Number two, if it's not kosher, or if it's at least suspect of not being kosher, is the seasoning considered to be a be'en, or is it considered to be balua b'toch ha'kli? Meaning, do we consider it that it's sitting there on the surface of the kli, or do we think that it's a blia inside of the kli? And number three, how would you kasher something that is non-kosher liquid that becomes balua in a kli? What's the proper method of kashering it? So we're going to go through issue by issue, and then we're going to go through the shitos and poskim about this. It's an unusual area of halacha in the sense that of the major kashrus agencies with major poskim at their helm, there are four different approaches. Min hakotze el hakotze, about what to do with this. But first, the issues. First of all, is the seasoning kosher? So it seems that if you buy unseasoned, then there's no kashrus problem. Even the temporary coating that they put on it is not a kashrus issue. That's just apparently a metzius. The pre-seasoned cookware might use animal fat for the coating, which is obviously going to be a kashrus problem. It's animal fat of nevelus, or maybe chelev, I don't know. And that's obviously not going to be kosher. And even if they use vegetable oil or butter, it's certainly possible that that's not kosher also. However, sometimes the company will advertise that they're using grapeseed oil, and they may even be willing to write a letter claiming that they only use OU or Star K certified oils. So in that case, do they have ne'emanus? So in a tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote in 1955 to Rabbi Grubner Zatzal of Detroit, who I once met, I once visited Detroit, Rabbi Grubner was very, very proud of his relationship with Rav Moshe. I remember when I asked him if I can buy his sefer from him, and he said, not just like that, I have to sit down, and he opened up the sefer and he read with me Rav Moshe's Haskama, and he says, look, he writes Liadidi Harav Hagoyin. You know, he's showing me how Rav Moshe referred to him. He was very, very excited about his relationship with Rav Moshe. So in a tshuva that I looked for this, I couldn't find it today. I wanted to see if Rabbi Grubner published his response to Rav Moshe about this issue. But anyway, in a tshuva that Rav Moshe, it's printed in Yardei Chelek Aleph Siman Nun Hey of Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe writes that he agrees with Rabbi Grubner's assessment that you can trust them to say that they only use vegetable oil. Mikam atamim, mitam uman lomar umnasei, that a professional doesn't want to cost his professional reputation. Umitam avidi legluye, they could be found out if they're lying. Umitam mirtas me onesh lufi chok medina senu, and there's a concern that that if they're found to be lying, they could get punished, penalized in some way from by the law. Umitam daisa chuvishlan l'sheilu shonagel l'cholavel l'sheilu l'hechsher, especially if you ask it as a question about an allergy issue or something like that, not about a kashrus issue. So it's a long tshuva, only because Rav Moshe takes issue with the way Rabbi Grubner understood an answer to a kasha of the Ran. But in terms of the practical halacha, Rav Moshe was in full agreement that they have ne'amanas. In fact, in the ninth volume of Igros Moshe, with whatever that implies, in the ninth volume of Igros Moshe, Nebnezer Chelkei Simin Membeis, there's a tshuva printed there that Rav Moshe wrote to Rav Ruvain Shlita, where he writes, "Ubedvar laham in hakompanies al mashe nosim betocham ha'achalim shosim im yischayvu onesh kishem shakrim yesh lismoch aleihem mishum demirtis v'mein onesh ein emanim." Rav Moshe makes it all about one issue in that tshuva, and that is just purely the issue of, is there going to be an onesh? Is there going to be a punishment for violating that the trust of the people? So based on this, Rabbi Gersten from the OU, who is the man in terms of the halachic policies of the OU, he told me that if the company will supply in writing that they only use kosher OU oil, and particularly if the skillets are made in America, and in the U.S. the vast majority of vegetable oil that's available is kosher, it's hard to find non-kosher vegetable oil in America, then there's good reason to accept what they say. So that's as far as if the seasoning is kosher. But let's say, aside from that issue, let's assume that you cannot verify that the seasoning is kosher. The company doesn't tell you anything. So is the seasoning considered to be be'en or is it balua? Kashering only works once all of the be'en is removed from the pot, once anything substantive is scraped off of the pot. If you had a pot full of nevela meatballs that were stuck onto the surface, it doesn't help to dip that pot into boiling water. The nevela meatballs are still there. It's not going to kasher the pot. Anytime you have be'en, you have actual substance on the surface, it's certainly going to be a problem. So on the one hand, the surface of the pot seems very clean and smooth. You don't feel any grease or oil on the surface, so it seems like it's not be'en. But on the other hand, if you scrub it with soap, the seasoning will come off to the point that it will need to be re-seasoned. So it can scrape right off. So if it can scrape off, maybe that's an indication that it's be'en. This is a machlokes amongst two contemporary gedolim. Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who just passed away, is quoted by Rabbi David Cohn of the CRC. There are many Rabbi David Cohns. This is the Rabbi David Cohn, son of Rabbi Alfred Cohn, who's of the CRC, who views that Rav Gedalia Dov, he reports Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz views the seasoning as balua, as absorbed into the pot. Rabbi Gersten told me that Rav Belsky Zatzal held that seasoning is considered be'en, since it's a layer of fat that can be scraped off. Therefore, before kashering, according to Rabbi Belsky, you need to scrape it all off, or kasher in a way that burns up the entire surface and makes it so charred that it's inedible to begin with, like a black stain on an old pot, you know, that you don't have to take it off because it's not a be'en anymore, it's just entirely charred. Now, what's the method of the third issue? What's the method for kashering something that's absorbed with a non-kosher liquid? Meaning, let's say they use non-kosher oils. So if you have something that's balua with a liquid medium, let's say I'm cooking a nevela chicken in my chicken soup. So my otherwise kosher chicken soup. So the kashering of the pot would be hagala, because it's absorbing the nevela through a liquid medium. So the way to kasher it, kabolo, kachpolto, is through liquid, is through boiling hot water, through hagala. If it's a barbecue, I barbecue nevela meat on my grill, it's direct fire on the grill, so then you need libum gamur, because that's also kibolo kachpolto, that it absorbs absorbed with direct fire. You got a kasher with direct fire, but this is somewhere in between. Meaning, this case is, yeah, it was direct fire with a liquid, but it's not that the non-kosher food tam went through the liquid into the pot. The liquid itself was non-kosher. Meaning, it's not like a nevela chicken in a kosher, an otherwise kosher chicken soup, where the tam goes through the liquid. The tam is the liquid. So what do we do then? Does that require libun, or does that require hagala? This is a machlokas haposkim. The shach in Yardeis and Kuv Chav Aleph, Siv Katan Ches, and Rabbi Kiveger over there understand that based on the Chuvus Ramami Panu Simin Tzadi Vav, to hold that the Ramami Panu holds that you need libun gomor, and that's the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan and Simin Kuv Chav Aleph Siv Katan Yeralf. However, most poskim hold that any time that it was a liquid, Kibolo Kachpolto says that it comes out with boiling liquid. And this is the Shita of the Ramah in Yaradeya Simen Kuf Lamed Hei Sivav, when he says that if a kli cooked stam yenam, you can kasher with hagala. It's exactly the same issue. Stam yenam is the non-kosher liquid, so you can kasher with hagala. That's also the opinion of the Magen Avraham in Sim Tafnun Aleph in Hilchas Pesach, Sivkat Nid Beis, and in the Chuvas Chasam Sofer Yerideya, Simen Kuf Yod Aleph. The Chazon Ish in Yerideya Simen Mem Dalet Os Dalet holds this way as well, and quotes many Rishonim that hold this way as well, that hagala would suffice. So where does that leave us? Four basic approaches in Poskim. The OU's approach, based on a psak of Rav Belsky Zichron Levracha, they did not report to me what Rav Schechter said, nor did I speak to Rav Schechter about it, but the OU's approach based on a psak of Rav Belsky Zichron Levracha was that you should do Libun Gamur. Why Libun Gamur? It will burn off the Be'en and will kasher anything that's Balua in it. It will solve both problems. I mean, Rav Belsky understood that there is a problem of Be'en, but don't worry, you do Libun Gamur, you put it in a 900 degree oven, it's going to burn off that be'en, and whatever is balua is also going to be burnt out. If you first scrape off the be'en, then you could do libun kal, because then you have a svek sveka, that maybe libun kal works on kalim that are nivla with non-kosher liquid. I mean, libun kal could be done whenever hagala can be done, libun kal works as well. So you can put it in 550 degrees in your oven on libun kal if you first scrape off the be'en. It's not going to be hot enough to destroy the be'en. You scrape off the be'en, then you're worried about the blios, you could do libun kal. Why? Because of a svek sveka. That maybe libun kal works when the kalim are nivla with non-kosher liquid, and maybe the seasoning is really kosher, meaning Rav Belsky wasn't willing to say just 100%, yeah, hagala is good enough on such a thing. After all, the understood the Ramami Panu was saying it's not good enough, but it's at least a Sveka Dedina. So between that suffix and the suffix that maybe was kosher, so Rebelsky was willing to be Makil to do Libun Kal. Now normally we assume that running a self-clean cycle accomplishes Libun. That used to definitely be the case. It used to be that ovens on a self-clean cycle would get to 900 degrees, which is enough, it's hot enough for Libun. It's not at all clear to me what the Metzius is nowadays. I've heard reports, and certainly it seems that modern self-clean ovens are not the same as they were. For safety concerns, for whatever reasons, it could be they don't get nearly as hot as the old self-clean ovens, in which case one has to be careful about what we consider Libun Gamur within our kitchens. The second approach is that of Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and the CRC, where he holds you could do Hagala. He says the oil is not Be'en, so you don't have to worry about any Be'en. And Hagala is a perfectly valid way to kasher. When something is balea, a tray for liquid. He just says you just have to keep two things in mind. First thing to keep in mind is that hagala can be done on parts of the pot at a time, because sometimes it's a big skillet. You can't dip it into anything. You have nothing big enough to hold the boiling water to dip it into. So unlike tevilas kelim, hagalas kelim can be done pieces at a time. And the second thing to keep in mind is the cast iron is very heavy and very thick. So just dipping it for a couple of seconds is not going to work, because it's not going to heat up the metal enough. So in general, when you do hagala, you're supposed to wait till the water comes to a boil again before you pull out the item that you're being magil. So you have to really make sure to do that when you're doing it with cast iron. It will take a little longer. The third approach is that of the Star K, which is not really a third approach. It's just, it's Rabbi Heinemann. He also holds that Agala is good enough, but he suggests do Libun Kal rather than Agala. Do Libun Kal by putting it in the oven for 45 minutes on 550, and that would solve the problem. That seems to assume, I didn't see a clear explanation, but it seems to assume that Agala is good enough, so you might as as well just do Liban Kal. The most makel opinion is that of Rav Shlomo Miller Shlita of the COR in Toronto, where Rav Shlomo Miller, who's the Lakewood Posek in Toronto, and it's reported on the COR website, holds that you can use as is, you don't need to do anything to it. What, how's that possible? So he understands that the seasoning might be be'en, but it's already charred, meaning the factory did it for you. They already charred it for you. The raya is that when you scrape it off, what does it look like? It looks like burnt black material. It's exactly what a charred something looks like. Although it should need libun kal or agala, whenever agala is good enough, libun kal works too. The heating that they already did in the factory is libun kal. So that's for, they already did it for you. They kashered it for you because in the process of making the cast iron, they already kashered it for you. So those are the four basic approaches. Everyone have a wonderful day, and Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll meet back here at 2:45. I got a